for why this process is necessary and what some of the contentious issues are that need to be put under the microscope. Former president of the Queensland Law Society and accredited specialist in succession law, Christine Smyth, joins us on Northern Drive this afternoon. Christine, thank you for your time.
Good afternoon, and thank you, listeners.
The Premier obviously pointed there to the fact that this legislation is deeply challenging for society, and we've seen it implemented in other states. What appear to be the contentious parts of the legislation that need to be very carefully considered?
Well, there's no real delicate way of putting it. We are talking about the intentional ending of a human life through medically assisted means, and that involves legal, ethical and social policy issues with corresponding impact on our health system and health professionals. And at this particular stage of our health system, we're already battling some difficulties with COVID-19, and that's something that wasn't in anticipation when this particular report was being developed. There are also a number of differences between the draft legislation that's been put to Parliament and that of the Victorian state in particular. Victoria has enacted their legislation and it is operative. Western Australia has merely enacted theirs. It's not yet operative. And there's some significant differences that are being proposed in this draft that I anticipate that the Premier would like a law reform commission to review and consider.
What are some of the differences in what Queensland's looking at?
Okay. There's a number of significant differences. One of the primary ones is a time limit with respect to the illness that the person is suffering from. So in the Victorian legislation, you can't access voluntary assisted dying unless you have a prognosis from a medical practitioner that you're likely to die within 6 months of the request, or in the case where you have a neurodegenerative disease, it's 12 months. The Queensland Review took the view that this was an arbitrary reference and places a great burden on a medical practitioner in relation to making a prognosis as to when a person's likely to die from an illness. So that's one of the main criteria. Another one is Queensland is proposing a higher pain threshold, if I can put it that way, to that of the Victorian position. The Victorian legislation says that all that has to be established is that the patient is the illness is causing the patient to suffer, and that that person cannot be relieved in a manner that the person finds tolerable, whereas the proposal in Queensland is that the suffering must be intolerable and enduring. And the Queensland viewpoint on that approach is consistent with international standards.
Intolerable and enduring. It's such a subjective experience, pain. Yes. Is that why this needs further investigation?
You're quite right. Pain is a very subjective experience, and it's certainly one that needs to be explored because what pain I might suffer will be different to someone else's. So that kind of definition really does need some fleshing out. There's some other issues as well. So in the Victorian legislation, the medical practitioners are prohibited from actually initiating a conversation around voluntary assisted dying. In Queensland, they took the view that not to include that, and their view was that to prohibit a medical practitioner from initiating the conversation actually inhibits a full and open and frank discussion. So that's one of the other issues there.
We're hearing here from Christine Smyth, former president of the Queensland Law Society, on a day where the Premier has referred some laws that would allow for voluntary assisted dying in Queensland. They'll be deferred while they are explored by the Law Reform Commission. We're learning why. Christine Smyth, I'm gathering from what you're suggesting here, that is a good idea in your mind, that this has a bit more scrutiny on top of it. It will be difficult news for those who have been campaigning for VAD to hear today, to learn that potentially this could be at least a year off being implemented.
It would be quite devastating to those people who are seeking access to this type of legislation. But what we need to understand is these issues need to be fleshed out and fully explored before we put in a process that people can access. We must keep in mind that it's a limited number of people who will be able to access the legislation. And one of the, if there's a salve, should I put it, the benefits of the proposed Queensland legislation is that we don't put down a, there's not been proposed a set time limit as to when you're likely to pass away from your illness. There's no deadline there, so to speak, as far as that's concerned.
What are some of the sticky legal areas that need to be really carefully thought over to ensure that those that are actually signing off are protected?
One of the big sticky legal areas is around the definition of capacity and your capacity to understand the process of what you're going through. So one of the criteria is that you actually must have capacity. So for all of those people who suffer from a neurodegenerative disease that affects their capacity, they will not be able to access this legislation. So that would be people who are suffering from Alzheimer's, dementia and the like. In Queensland, as in Victoria and Western Australia, you must have full cognition in order to be able to access this legislation.
Yeah, you can imagine there are scenarios around the world where this is challenged. Is it something that is commonly challenged in a court of law? A sign-off on a certificate, it's followed through, and then the family in the aftermath actually don't feel like that was the decision of the person who had made that call?
Well, there are processes built into the proposed draft legislation to give checks and balances through each step of the way. So the first step is the person must make a request. That request goes to a medical practitioner and they must undertake an assessment. They then refer the person on to a second medical practitioner who undertakes an assessment. Both medical practitioners need to be satisfied that the person understands what it is that they're doing and the enormity of the decision and that it's freely and voluntarily entered into. And then the second medical practitioner must then find the person eligible to access the scheme. And then the person makes a request, and that request must be in writing, must be in the presence of two witnesses and the first medical practitioner. And then the person makes a final request. So it's a very thorough process. And in terms of exposure to litigation and the like, there are mechanisms built into the draft legislation around protecting medical practitioners from criminality in respect of this particular scheme.
Well, could it be that the Law Commission looks at what is proposed and says no completely, or is that not what they're allowed to do? Are they able to say, we don't think this is a good idea, come back to us with something else?
Yes, law reform. The object of law reform commissions are to review the law that's in place at the moment and to consider the issues and then make recommendations. And they can make a recommendation to either accept this particular draft legislation or to significantly amend it or not to do it at all. It will be a matter for the Law Reform Commission to look at that in totality, and they then hand down their own report, and then it's still a matter for Parliament as to whether or not Parliament enacts the legislation. Now, to give an example of that process, something a little bit drier and less interesting to most people is the Trust Act. Queensland had the Trust Act enacted in 1973, and back in 2013, the Queensland Law Reform Commission settled its final report and made proposed draft legislation for the Parliament to take up. We're now in 2020 and the Parliament hasn't taken up that legislation. So this may not result in any legislation, or it may result in some legislation. It's just a matter of the Parliament and where the Parliament is at any one point in time.
Well, we'll have to wait to see what ends up coming out of all of this. But thank you for really giving us a sense for what will be investigated and why, from a legal perspective, there has been call to make sure that it was properly investigated before it was enshrined in law.
Yes.
Christine, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, listeners.
That is Christine Smythe, former president of the Queensland Law Society and an accredited specialist in succession law. The time